Okay, well, thank you, Susan. One thing actually Susan didn't say was that Susan was my art theory professor at University of Maryland a few years ago, and then we've stayed in touch ever since. And then I've always kept an eye on what's been happening here since Susan's been here, and I've always sort of, you know, been aware of the programs, and more recently the curatorial emerging program. So for me to be asked to mentor an emerging curator obviously was an honor. For this exhibition, for me, it was important to see how can we do a contemporary art show that is relevant or connected to what's happening in Rockville, or vice versa, how can we learn from what's happening or has happened in Rockville, and how can we pass it to artists to make contemporary artworks. So the seed for this show was thinking about, I was thinking about a little bit in the fall about this sort of issue of like fake news that was and still is prevalent in the U.S., and I thought what could be perhaps sort of the opposite of that. And so then I was sort of thinking about, well, maybe in a place like Rockville, there's all these interesting stories that are maybe fantastical, people wouldn't believe, but are real. And then could we find these stories and then give them to the artists to do something with? And then so we brought on a team of research assistants, Chrissy, Ashley, Alexandra Oliva, who's not here. And then together we sort of, they searched sort of the Gazette, the defunct Gazette archives. They went to the historical societies. We talked to people. And then we kind of gathered this trove of stories, and then we sort of let the artists have at it. And then from there, it's more like what inspired them? How can they sort of transmute what they're reading or into something visual? And then more importantly, how can they sort of have fun with this concept and make it sort of relevant to today? And that's sort of where we are with the project. And then this project to me is interesting in that for the artists too, we didn't really know what it was going to look like to pretty much till we were installing it, I think, right? And that's, for me, that's always exciting, this idea of like doing projects where we can take risks and then sort of just explore and then kind of open up to the public, right? So even though it opens today, there's other programs happening, two or three throughout the month that we'll invite you to. There's going to be a Dreams workshop on
that's right, 27th,
led by Katie, who's one of the artists. We'll have a closing on June 10th, and probably some other things, right? So for me, and I didn't say that, I also grew up in the area. So I went to high school in Rockville, Wooden High School. I grew up skateboarding in Rockville before there was this town center, so I know the area well. So to be asked to come back was also interesting too. And then when I went to sort of select the artists, based on the premise of the show, I was looking for artists that I knew that I could trust, right? And artists I knew that could experiment. And then also artists that were from different sort of disciplines. So there's artists working here in new media, conceptual art, illustration, performance, video, sculpture. So I kind of wanted to sort of have this mashup. And then some artists have been at it for a little bit. And then other are sort of younger emerging artists. So this idea of like interspersing all of this within this project was important to me too. So having said that, some of the artists are here. Calder Brannick has this piece. Rodrigo Carrasas Portal is here, has this piece here, another one there. Raul Zaire de Leon has these videos. James Huckenpaller has this projection piece here. Larry Cook has this interactive installation here. Amanda Kleiman has photos in the back gallery. Katie Massachin has the interactive video piece back there. And I believe that's everybody, right? Catherine Zurimba that does the wallpaper and illustrations as well. So I don't know if you guys wanted to say something about the process. Calder's itching to say something. Or we could leave it up to casual conversations after. What do you guys prefer? The latter. The latter? Okay.
I have one question, yeah. Because I was thinking, you know, the curator comes up with this kind of crazy idea. Let's see, you know, I'll talk to a few people. And each of the artists is, you know, they're on their own trajectory. They're asking their own questions. They're thinking about their own work. And then this kind of thing comes from outside. And, like, to be able to respond to it and to kind of build that into your practice, I think that's really, it's very interesting. And not every artist can easily do that. And I was wondering if how you felt about that. You know, like, was it easy? Is that what you do? Or was that new or something? Yeah.
Well, like, for me at least, it was like a very, like I was submerged in, like, into it. Like, I was like kind of like dwelling with a lot of like information that it was coming in, and like I was talking to Jose about how the pieces will look and like how we're just gonna like, you know, work out. So for me, like, first of all, like, I'm Peruvian, so like I didn't grow up in this area, and like to me, like, everything is kind of like a mismatch of like development and then like, you know, like cities and like how like everybody has a known story about cities. Like, you know, for me, like, I live in Virginia in DC, and like my brother came to University of Maryland, so like I have like known about how people tell me about, oh yeah, this place used to be like this, or like this used to be something else, you know. And it's this always idea of like drawing back to what you something was. So when I went to a lot of these works that I work on, just kind of like was thinking about how to construct them using my own like kind of like practice and my own like theory that I, you know, kind of developed my own ideas. And like one of all is very like urban in the way that I constructed it. Like I basically like walk around and like try to make what is was basically like a cut up like cortex, or like a squeezed cortex of it, like how they make it happen. And then the other one is more abstract in the way that I like basically took it from the way of you study like a subject and then submersing this idea of the UFO and the X-Pac like website, that it was very 90s website. So like the whole aesthetic like very much influenced how I went to it, and then like how it's like things were like kind of like blocked, and that's how like a lot of things just kind of like went into like just this like black sits, or like, and then and it becomes like a painting to me because I come from a background of like painting. So so it was interesting in a way, and it was like a little bit like fun. Like it was a lot of fun actually, just kind of like go and like kind of like just jump into one subject to another, and then just sitting down at my computer in the studio and like clicking one like link and then clicking the other, and this idea of jumping around subjects and just keep your mind keep going and like try to like kind of like, you know, grab into what you think it might work and just, you know, fail and try it again.
Did anybody discover anything like really weird about Rockfall? That seemed...
Well, like when Jose started talking about this, I went onto the Gazette website, and so I think the first three searches I did were UFOs, Donald Trump. There's some great Donald Trump stories. And I was also interested in the sniper story, because that was a really, it was like a traumatic experience for the whole area. I didn't end up using any of that. Well, I didn't use any of that research, but it was like, that's the kind of digging I was doing. Like, what scandals can I find?
Yeah.
But, you know, the Gazette was really, for me, like, I remember the Uptown Citizen in D.C.,
yeah.
And there are all these old newspapers that are now gone, and they're sort of this collective memory. And that, you know, for my work, that's what I was thinking about. Is like, there's almost like this collective subconscious with these things we sort of remember or half remember.
Yeah.
So it was really fun digging into that.
Yeah.
You know, like, and all the pictures are, like, kind of low-res and crap, like JPEGs are, like, you know, 20K JPEGs or GIFs that are just, like,
no,
and that's kind of how our memory is, you know,
yeah.
It's, like, it's big pixels.
Yeah. I guess for me, I was also thinking about you, Amanda. Kind of raised right around the corner here, and like, you know, how did the news and your memory of your childhood come together?
So when Jose asked me to participate in the show, you know, as a night photographer, everything I do is alone. Usually, I'm, you know, and as a photographer, you have your own questions, your own answers, and you talk to yourself a lot. So, I truly value collaboration, and I love to be pushed to do something that I wouldn't normally do. And I've been wanting to, like, do this, go to all my old houses and see, like, were my memories anything like what they were. I didn't have any idea if the condominiums off College Gardens Parkway were actually still be there. you know, this idea, like, I had always thought that I lived in a place where I had to cross a bridge to get into. And I left when I was 2 and hadn't been back, even though I ended up in Germantown and then off to Beef Mill Road. So when Jose asked me to do the project, at first I was like, okay, I'm going to shoot the remains of Chestnut Lodge. Well, there's nothing there. And the images I shot were, like, you know, sort of blank. And then those houses back there, if anyone lives there, this is not a judgment on you or your design choices. I was, you know, like, this looks like new, trying to be old everywhere. So that, those didn't make the cut. And I was like, all right, let's see if we can find this old apartment building. And it was there, and there was a bridge. And I love cherry trees, and I happened to be there when the cherry blossoms were blooming. And it was pretty exciting. You know, I came 4 or 5 times. Yeah. Like, everything I thought was there, it was there. We do now have a foam soft playground surface, which is a new twist for children, protection. But yeah, no, it was very cool to sort of wander my way through and see if everything I thought was there was there.
And Katie, you made a friend. You made a new friend. Do you want to tell us about?
I did. I don't know what to say. I made friends with TV John, and he's great. If you watch that video, you'll learn about how he started making dream songs. And he's in Mexico now because he's living the life. Retired phone book salesman, now creature of dreams. But yeah, we'll be performing here on May 31st with his legendary band. I believe we have a legendary band member right here.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, come back. Cool. From 6 to 8.
Great.